Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. It's 11 a.m. here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to the Daytona 500 edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, and happy Daytona Day. Yes, I know Fox doesn't use that for their campaigns, but it's so darn catchy. I'm still using it. Happy Daytona Day. Happy Daytona 500. Happy start to the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series season. And we're talking about it with you here this morning on WGR Sports Radio 550, our second show of the season. Welcome to the program. Hope you have a great race day. We got a great show lined up for you on this Daytona 500 day. Coming up at the quarter past the hour, we're going to go live to Daytona and talk to a good friend of mine, Tim Packman, who is back on the beat, so to speak, as he is helping cover the events down in Speed Weeks over the past week or so for kickinthetires.net. We're going to go live out to Daytona, check in with Tim, and get the latest on what's going on at the track this morning and what he has seen and covered throughout the last week and a half or so. He's been on dispatch down there at Daytona since last week with qualifying in the Busch Clash, and then Thursday's dual races, the truck race on Friday, the Xfinity race yesterday, and everything that's gone on already this morning out there at the World Center of Racing, the Daytona International Speedway. So we'll check in with Tim at quarter past the hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, and I think I alluded to this last week, this year is different for NASCAR, for those of us living here in New York State, because it's the first NASCAR season where we could legally place a wager on a NASCAR race and not have to either go to another state, go to Canada, use the wink, wink, nudge, nudge app or website you use. You can legally, you know, from where I sit, go about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes to the north or 20 to 30 minutes west of where I am and place a bet on a NASCAR race. And that's the first time you've been able to do that legally in New York State. So I thought we'd spend some time talking about betting in NASCAR, and we're going to do that with Brant James from bookies.com. Brant has covered racing for the likes of ESPN and USA Today. He's worked for IndyCar. We've had Brant on the show a number of times throughout our time here on the air, and Brant now covers the sports betting world for bookies.com, so we're going to check in with Brant at the bottom of the hour. And I'm not a big gambler, but the whole possibility of it doing nice and legal and easy without having to jump through a lot of hoops has intrigued me, and I've even started placing a few bets at the end of the NFL season just for fun, and it's something I don't want to become too attached to, but I do find it very interesting and intriguing that I'll be able to place a bet on the race today, which is something I might do. So we're going to talk to Brant, and if that's something you've become more interested in, I'd love to hear about that at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. In fact, anything you want to talk about concerning the Daytona 500, the phone lines are open here this morning at 803-0550. Your predictions for today's race, your season predictions, your championship four picks, your championship, you want to call your shot on who's going to win the NASCAR Cup Series title this year. That is all on the line. Have you placed a wager on the Daytona 500? Who have you got your money on? Or do you have a certain system for placing bets? Or just your fantasy picks, too. And don't forget to sign up for our WGR Fast Track Fantasy League. If you are looking for the info on that, you can just go to our Twitter account at FastTrack550 on Twitter, and pinned right to the top of my Twitter account is the link and the info on to sign up for our WGR Fast Track Fantasy League. I think we've done that every year we've been on the air. For 14 years, we've had a fantasy league of some kind. We've bounced around from different games. We started on Yahoo, and then they shut theirs down. And now we're over at drivergroupgame.com, and you can play along with us this season. Just go sign up at drivergroupgame.com, search for the WGR Fast Track League, and then the password to join is WGR550 with WGR in lowercase. So your fantasy picks as well today. As we take a look at the starting lineup for today's 62nd annual Daytona 500, the Great American Race, on the pole after winning the pole last week during time trials, Ricky Stenhouse, who of course is driving for JTG Doherty Racing this year. He is in the 47 instead of the 17, and he is on the pole with his Chevrolet alongside a fellow Chevy driver from Hendrick Motorsports, Alex Bowman. They'll be on the front row today, and two very good picks, I would say, if you're setting up your fantasy lineups. as I said, with Howard on Friday morning, Ricky is kind of on my list of three guys I'm picking today, if he can survive, because we know how aggressive Ricky Stenhouse can be. You know, if he can be there at the end, he'll definitely have a shot to win today from the pole. Row two is the two gentlemen that won the dual races on Thursday evening, Joey Logano, who is a former winner of this race, former Cup champion. He's got a new crew chief this year. He is on the inside of that second row in the Shell Pennzoil Ford for Roger Penske, alongside William Byron, who is an intriguing pick, to say the least. Another young Hendrick Motorsports driver like Alex Bowman. He did a phenomenal job, I thought, pulling away in the late stages of that dual race on Thursday, you know, kind of fighting off the challenges from behind. And, you know, is this going to be a big year for William Byron? I believe this is year three for Byron in the Cup Series. And is this his opportunity with the impending retirement of Jimmy Johnson after this season? You know, is this going to be a breakout year for William Byron as he rolls up from the number four spot today? Row three will be Eric Almirola and Jimmy Johnson, I just mentioned, who will be making his final start, at least as a full-time driver, in the Daytona 500. Never say never with him maybe running this race again someday, but definitely will be his last as a full-time driver for Hendrick Motorsports. Row four, Ryan Newman. And interesting stat about Ryan Newman. I was looking this up. In the last 10 races at Daytona, the driver with the second best average finish position is Newman, actually, with a 13.6, just behind Denny Hamlin. So he rolls off seventh today for the Roush Fenway team, alongside Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick. Round out your top 10 starters today. Two obvious potential favorites. Brad Keselowski's never won this race. Kevin Harvick has won it before. Looking at the rest of the lineup, you've got Bubba Wallace, who, of course, had a great run in this event 2 years ago, finishing second to Austin Dillon. Cole Custer making his first Daytona 500 start for Stuart Haas Racing, taking over the 41 car from Daniel Suarez. You've got then Austin Dillon, who I just mentioned, who won this race before. He starts 13th. Eric Jones, who won the Busch Clash on last Sunday, rolling up 14th. And of course, Jones, his battered number 20 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, surviving that wreck fest of a race last Sunday in the Busch Clash. That was a nightmare. And the battered number 20 going to victory lane. Martin Truex starts 15th. Matt DiBenedetto in his first start for the Wood Brothers rolls off 16th. Christopher Bell in his first Daytona 500 start for the 95 team, the Levine Family Racing, he starts 16th. Kurt Busch 18th. We've got Chris Buescher in 19th. Denny Hamlin, the defending race winner, in 21st. That's another one of my picks for today, along with Stenhouse and Logano. He starts 21st. You've got Chase Elliott back in 25th. Ryan Blaney in 27th, alongside Kyle Busch. Clint Bowyer is back in 19th. Ryan Preece starts 31st today. And that's it for kind of notable names in the field. A couple drivers falling to the rear of the field include Ryan Blaney, who's going to a backup car. His car was damaged in the duels on Thursday. Ty Dillon, Brennan Poole, Corey LaJoie, BJ McLeod, all going to the rear of the field for various reasons, for engine changes, transmission changes, and the like. But that is a look at your starting lineup. And again, love to know your favorites at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Let's go to our first caller of the morning. Don is on the line. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. So here's my thoughts. The past few years, the Toyotas and the Joe Gibbs Racing Toyotas in particular, they've been running roughshod over NASCAR. And it seems like the only the Fords and Chevys are having trouble keeping up. And I think that today, especially, the only way the Chevys and Fords probably have a chance is if they all hook up together in that draft and try to, overtake all the other Toyotas. Do you think is that the only plan the Chevys and Fords have, or is there anything else they can do?
Yeah, Don, thanks for the phone call. I think we saw it last year in their stricter plate races. The team, or the manufacturers, they do like to kind of stick to themselves. You know, all the Ford teams work together, all the Chevy teams all work together. When it comes to Toyota, There's just five Toyotas in the field. It's pretty astonishing when you think about how well Toyota dominates the sport. There's only five Toyotas: the four Gibbs cars and the 95 Christopher Bell in the Levine car, which is basically a satellite Joe Gibbs operation. So really, the odds are against the Toyotas when it comes to the restrictor plate races. I think they're so well, they run so well, just about any other circuit on the NASCAR schedule. And especially in the mile and a half tracks, they're so dominant. But at the plate tracks, they're kind of outnumbered. So what maybe comes to those crunch time situations, if there's enough cars running at the front of the field at the end of the race, you probably, odds on, are going to have more Chevys and Fords than Toyotas at the front of the field. So really, you know, these Gibbs drivers are going to have to hope like a scenario like last Sunday at the Busch Clash when you had Denny Hamlin a lap down, literally pushing Erik Jones to the win. They're going to need to, you know, have a few guys running by the end of the race. If three of the four Gibbs cars are involved in wrecks during the race, it's likely a Toyota is not going to come out on top today in the Daytona 500, whereas the Fords and Chevys have a lot more. In fact, the breakdown is as follows. There's 19 Chevys, 16 Fords, and 5 Toyotas. So, yes, the Gibbs cars are strong, and they and the Fords do have front and back ends that are better for pushing in the draft. There just is not as many Toyotas as it compared to the Chevys and Fords in the field. So I think just from a number standpoint, while I like Denny Hamlin to win the race today, you know, it's going to have to be one of those days where a good portion of the field maybe gets decimated in wrecks throughout the afternoon to give one of the Toyotas a shot today, because really just the numbers aren't in their favor. And again, that's just a part of super speedway racing in NASCAR these days, where, you know, the racing is very good when they're not, you know, blocking themselves into wrecks. The tapered spacer package, remember, we don't run restrictor plates anymore in NASCAR. Last year's Daytona 500 was the last restrictor plate race ever. They now run these tapered spacers. So the cars have more horsepower. I think it was like 440 horsepower with the restrictor plate versus, I think, the tapered spacered engines, they run about 750 horsepower. Also, compared to last year's Daytona 500, they've got a lot more downforce, too. So really, these guys can run side by side better than they have in the last few years in the Daytona 500. I think you'll see a lot less of when these cars like to side draft, where the air gets taken off the rear of these cars and you see a guy spin out. You haven't really seen that through the duels and the clash and all the wrecks and big ones, as the term everybody likes to use. You only see that when these guys start blocking each other, and that has been the biggest issue in super speedway racing the last couple seasons. It's not the car stability. They are sucked right down to the ground with the amount of downforce and the horsepower they have. So it's not air really causing these wrecks. It obviously, you know, helps these cars to draft and everything, and the spoiler on these cars cutting a big hole in the air. It's just the fact these guys block so much that it causes these giant crashes that take out so many cars, like we saw in the Busch Clash on Sunday. So, well, I like to say Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski as well, too, are two great super speedway racers in the Cup Series. A lot of times they're not there at the end because they're blocking them. They're trying to keep themselves in the lead. They're blocking so much that eventually they just get taken out. That happened specifically to Logano. Well, it was actually kind of funny how it happened last Sunday in the Clash when Logano was trying to hold off Kyle Busch, and Busch got into Logano and took Brad Keselowski with him. And it was interesting that three of the not least popular drivers, but I guess the three most polarizing drivers in the sport all got taken out in one fell swoop last week in the Clash race. I like all three of those guys, but so many people don't like them. And all three of those drivers, I think, have their fair share of haters, finger quotes, that they all got taken out in one wreck. But it just simply happened because Joey was trying to block. So, unfortunately, that's how you survive in super speedway racing, is by blocking, because these guys get a run. And I think we're not too far off of going back to the old style of tandem racing that dominated just a few years ago in super speedway racing, the two-car tandem. It seems like that worked for Denny and Erik Jones last week in the Clash. And even if just a line of or two cars nose to tail is just as strong as a line of eight cars. So Donnie, thanks for the phone call. And the Toyota is definitely, again, talented drivers, great equipment, but it's a numbers thing, I think, today when you look at the Daytona 500. With that, we're going to go to the Western Hotline and bring in a gentleman we've had on this program a number of times wearing many different hats, and today he's wearing his kickinthetires.net hat. My good buddy Tim Packman is on the hotline, and he is live from Daytona. Tim, good morning. Happy Daytona 500, my friend.
Good morning, and happy Daytona 500 to you as well.
How are things at the World Center of Racing this morning?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been here all week, and the other day I took a ride around the track, and the campsites are fuller than they've been in the last couple, three, 4 years, I'll say. Fans are, like, jazzed up. The team owners are all jazzed up. There's a vibe going on. Some guy named Donald Trump's coming to watch the race for a little bit today. So it's electric atmosphere down here today.
And I'm watching the Fox pre-race, and Hootie and the Blowfish is there too. Darius Rucker's there.
Yeah, Darius just came in the media center. They gave him a guitar because he's a pre-race entertainment.
Pretty cool. Interesting point you bring up there right off the top, because I've seen that a little bit. Obviously, I'm not there, but just from reports and everything, that people were saying even the interest in the truck in the Xfinity race was up compared to years previous. Obviously, they're not packing the place, but it seems like the interest level has gone up slightly this year, say in years past.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, they did a lot of work, $400 million on the facility to get it better, so fans have responded to that. And my promoter hat was on Friday and Saturday. I looked at the crowd, and they were both really good for those races. And today's a sellout. They announced that on Thursday. It sold out for the fifth year in a row, which I think bodes well, and that doesn't even count, you know, the fan zone and the campers and all the other people that are just, you know, hanging out in the fan zone. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning like a child on Christmas morning. I got ready at 5, and I was on the track by 6 o'clock. So call me nuts, but you know what? It's the Daytona 500, and it's a great day to, if you're a stock car fan, even a casual one, you got to tune in for what's going to happen today.
Did you beat Bob Pockrass to the media center?
I was third. It was Al Pierce and Bob Pockrass and me.
That's always an accomplishment if you can beat Bob to the media center.
Yeah, it's huge.
You've been busy covering the events of Speed Weeks for KickinTheTires.net with Jerry Jordan and his staff. You got to talk to Clint Bowyer, and not only you talked some racing, though, you talked a little bit of football with old Clint.
Yeah, we had a media scrum. They bring the drivers by, and they have like a bicycle fence in between us. And he's about talking about football, and all of a sudden hit me. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I said, because he came and visited the Bills a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Clint has a long, standing, loyal, suffering Buffalo Bills fan. What's it like to win a Super Bowl in this one? Oh, dude! And he started talking about it. He goes, I'm watching on a social media. He goes, I'm not sure if I'm not part of the Bills Mafia. He gave props to the fans and the team and everything, but it was interesting to, you know, have a praise for our team, you know, especially after his just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the post-Super Bowl celebration by Clint Bowyer, there were some pretty funny photos that came out of that. And, of course, you're right. I was there when he was at New Era Field a couple of years ago taking the tour with Steve Tasker. And his wife is a huge Bills fan, and I'm sure she was excited when he brought home that Bowyer Buffalo Bills jersey. But one of the reasons why I bring up Clint Bowyer is he was doing, of course, the Xfinity Race broadcast yesterday with Brad Keselowski on Fox, Fox Sports 1. And they had an interesting stat on the screen. Guy, you know, Daytona 500 and guys adding that to their career resume. Of course, we had Darrell Waltrip take so many years to win it, and famously Dale Earnhardt, you know, his 20-year run to finally get one in 1998. Tony Stewart never won one. But the interesting stat, they had Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Clint Bowyer, and all four of these guys, they've run this race 12 to 15 times and have never won it. Out of those four today, Tim, which do you think has the best chance to maybe finally get that first Daytona 500 win?
So watching as I have, it's been, I would put them in this order. I go Bowyer, and then I would go Truex as a favorite to be in the next one just because they were running so strong and good together. And the thing you're going to watch today, and I mean, it's more prevalent, I'm not sure, but the manufacturers are working together more than they have in the past. So you're going to see all the Fords hooked up, all the Chevrolets hooked up, and then the Toyotas, they'll kind of run together as best they can. But, you know, we all know when it comes down to 3-2 or 1 to go, bye-bye, buddy, I got to go because this is the Daytona 500. And I don't blame him, and no one will blame him at all.
Yeah, I saw over on the Kick on the Tires website, you had a story up about the Ford teams, and definitely between Stuart Haas and even the two Roush cars, they've got a pretty good shot today.
Yeah, they do. It's a numbers game with those guys, and they shared how they've been working together on the track and off the track and marketing initiatives and everything. So it's going to be interesting to see how they all team up. You know, it was Joey said the other day, I would have won that clash. I mean, the duel, if it wasn't for help from another Ford behind me. Matt DiBenedetto was working good with Kevin Harvick, and DiBenedetto would be my good feel winner for today. My sentimental would be Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, Jimmy and his final start here as a full-time Cup driver, at least in the Daytona 500. How do you think their season's going to go? Obviously, they missed the playoffs last year. It seems like Jimmy's going to be out for some redemption this season. Do you see the 48 team finding their way back to victory lane at some point in 2020?
Well, the good thing is, you know, the bad thing last year, he had two crew chiefs, and we all know he didn't run that well. And it wasn't for lack of desire or lack of motivation, but he came in the other day, and I asked him, how's it feel walking in, knowing this is your last Daytona 500, and he said, I'm kind of taking it all in. I'm not getting, too sentimental about everything, but I am appreciating it. And then I said, what gift don't you want? He goes, I don't want a rocking chair, and I don't want a ponies as retirement gifts from track. But his spirits are up. He's good. I talked to his dad the other day. He's like, man, he's calm, cool, collective. And that's the Jimmy I know that used to win races and championships.
Tim Pacman from kickinthetires.net joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Tim, another great storyline really since last season in the NASCAR world. Has NASCAR been trying to get back to its roots? And when I say that, obviously grassroots racing, local racing, and they've really stepped up trying to tie back in the short tracks and everything, and so many guys with ties to the sport still running sprint cars and modifieds, guys like Kyle Larson and Ryan Preece and everything. It's really great to see that synergy from the industry.
Yep, and they're being totally open about it. They're like, look, we need to get back in touch with our core base, because like a lot of people that work on the sport, like from Buffalo, myself, Chad Walder, the Hillman group, Ryan Preece has raced at Lancaster. He's not from there, but on all facets, like even drivers and crew members and everything, most of them all came from a short track experience. Nowadays, a lot of the engineers come from college because, you're highly educated for what you do, but a lot of people are in the sport, came from the short track, and I think the connection they're trying to make is they need to step over those corporate people they were trying to get, because the corporate people aren't really that interested, most of them. They're just here for exposure. But I think the fans that they need to go back to are the ones that fill the seats to get the interest back in there. So I think what they're trying to do is really good, and the initiative's been fantastic, and I hope it carries over the way it's supposed to.
Last thing before we let you go, my friend, you've, as I said, you've worn a number of hats in this sport, and one of those was working for a NASCAR team, and it was a NASCAR team that won the Daytona 500, and I was at the track in 2004 when Dale Jr. won that race, and you happened to be working with DEI. What is that experience like, being part of a Daytona 500 winning race team?
It's surreal, because you sit there and you're watching, the race unfold, and you're with Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. And, it was 16 years ago yesterday. That was the exact date that he won. And I'm not going to lie, I'm wearing my Daytona 500 ring today, because it's such a cool thing and it's a special event. But when you're standing there, and I'll never forget, I was down there on the front stretch, and we were trying to get Dale back in the car so we could go. And NASCAR was like, Tim, get him in. I'm like, Dale. He's like, yeah. All of a sudden, I stopped for a moment. I looked up in the stands, Dave, and it's like a picture frozen in my mind forever. The fans were just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up in that stadium, you're like, oh, my gosh, what a moment. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. But it's pretty special, and that's something you can say for the rest of your life. You were part of a 500 championship team.
Mike Paz got me in the tower for the end of the race, because by then George W. Bush had left, speaking of presidents at the race.
Yeah.
So I was able to sneak up there with Mike. So I remember looking down and seeing you guys celebrate down there. It was a pretty cool moment from the other side of the track, too.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty cool.
Tim, appreciate the time. Always, my friend, enjoy the race today, and we'll continue to look forward to more of your coverage over at kickinthetires.net.
Appreciate it. It's fun to be a writer again. Thanks for everybody up there that's been reading them, and all your kind notes and everything. And Dave, keep doing the great job that you do for auto racing there in Western New York.
All right, Tim, take care. Have a good one. That's Tim Pacman again, kickinthetires.net. Jerry Jordan heads that site up. We've had Jerry on the show in the past. They do a great job with a whole cachet of writers down there covering things. You can follow Tim on Twitter, too, at TPAC64. And he has done a number of different things in the sport, including, as I said, worked for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated in 2004. And he loves showing off that Daytona 500 ring. And it is pretty cool to see it in person. We get back here on this Daytona 500 preview edition of WGR Fast Track. We'll take more of your phone calls at 803-0551. 888-552-550. Your picks to win today, your championship predictions, your fantasy lineups, your bets on the race today. We'd love to hear that. Or just, how do you have a Daytona 500 tradition? Do you throw a party? Do you have a bunch of friends over? What do you like to do to enjoy the great American race? Also, when we come back, Brant James from bookies.com, as we talk a little bit about sports wagering when it comes to NASCAR. That's coming up next here on Fast Track on WGR. Joey Logano there with new crew chief Paul Wolf today, Brett Keselowski's former crew chief. And again, Joey will roll off third in today's Great American Race after winning the dual race on Thursday night, the two twin races that set the starting order for the Daytona 500 outside of the front row, which, of course, locked in during time trials last Sunday, which is why Ricky Stenhouse and Alex Bowman will lead the field to green. As a green flag coming up at about 3:18 this afternoon for the Great American Race, the 62nd running of the Daytona 500. 11:30 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. Again, you can tweet us at Fast Track 550. We're also over on Facebook, facebook.com/WGR Fast Track. Some of the other action from Speedway's Friday night, the Truck Series kicked off their season with their annual race at Daytona, and Grant Enfinger picked up the win after the typical late race pileups that we see in Super Speedway racing. Enfinger survived and edged out Jordan Anderson for the win. And Anderson, a great underdog story, who grown up short track driver, an underfunded team, and made a great run until Enfinger held him off right at the line. Enfinger going to win over Anderson, Cody Rohrbaugh, Derek Krause, and Natalie Decker rounding out the top five. And Natalie's fifth place finish, the highest ever by a female in the Truck Series. Stuart Friesen, unfortunately, who we had on the show here last week, he was involved in one of those late race incidents with about six laps to go and finished back in 21st, a lap down, as his Hallmar Friesen Racing Toyota suffered significant damage late in the race, and Stuart unfortunately coming home in 21st. A number of the Truck Series frontrunners getting taken out in incidents throughout that race. Yesterday's Xfinity Series race, Noah Gragson picking up the win for Dale Earnhardt Jr. and JR Motorsports, his first win in the Xfinity Series. Harrison Burton, the son of Jeff Burton, finishing second for Joe Gibbs Racing. Timmy Hill in third. Brandon Jones, another Gibbs driver, in fourth. Chase Briscoe rounding up the top five. Then Justin Haley, Brandon Brown, Ray Black, Ryan Sieg, and Alex LeBay rounding out the top 10 in yesterday's Xfinity Series race. And again, survival of the fittest here in the Super Speedways. But definitely some exciting racing in the Xfinity race. The parts I got to watch yesterday, Jeb Burton had a good run. He has got a short schedule with JR Motorsports this season, driving the 8 car. Of course, Jeb, the son of Ward Burton, cousin to Harrison Burton, who finished second in the race. And Jeb had a very dominant car, won a stage or two yesterday, and looked to have a shot until he got caught up in an incident. And you got to feel bad for Justin Allgaier, who was Jeb's JR Motorsports teammate. There was a crash ahead of Allgaier on the track. I think it was a single car spin. Josh Balicki spun, and Allgaier was battling for the lead, and they had the lead pack cars coming up by a couple of slow lap cars, and I can't remember who. I think Briscoe might have been the other car. And they were trying to slow up, coming up on these lap cars, and Allgaier just got boxed in and drove right into the back of, I believe it was the 51, just drove right into the back of him and took out Allgaier yesterday. You feel bad for Justin after he looked to be have a shot to win it, and just bad luck getting boxed in behind a lap car, trying to slow to avoid another spinning car, took him out of the race yesterday. But a wild one there in the Xfinity race on Saturday. Again, 803-0551. 888-550-2550. One thing I haven't talked about, and I talked about some of the changes going into the season on last week's show, but it is today. It's the NASCAR Cup Series, not the Monster Energy, Nextel, Sprint, Winston Cup. Nope, it is just the NASCAR Cup Series this year, as NASCAR going without a overall title sponsorship. They do have four partners that are kind of like, for those of you that know about the Sabres Gold Ring partners, NASCAR kind of has that in the same way with brands like Geico and Xfinity and Coca-Cola and one other one that escapes me at the moment. But so it's just called the NASCAR Cup Series, and in fact, they've even renamed the trophy that the driver gets for the championship at the end of the year. It looks a lot like the same trophy that Monsters handed out the last couple of seasons, but I love that they called it the Bill France Cup. I think that's a great touch, honoring the founder of the sport. But a part of the new era here in 2020 in NASCAR. But we're going to go to the Wester Hotline right now. And speaking of new eras, we're going to bring in FromBookies.com. He's also written for ESPN and Sports Illustrated and USA Today. Brant James joins us on the hotline. Brant, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. It's been a while, but it's great to talk to you once again.
Yeah, you too, Dave. How's everything going today?
Doing really well. Excited for today's race. And I say it's a new era because, Brant, for those of us here in New York State, it's the first Daytona 500 where we can legally place wagers on the race right here in our state.
Yeah, it's interesting. We keep hitting these milestones in the sports betting
industry when you covered, okay, it's the first World Series or the first Super Bowl, and another really big one's going to be the first NCAA tournament,
because yep.
that's a huge market that folks love to play. But yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see, you know, what the fans up in your neck of the woods do if they're going to partake in it. I don't have the map of all the casinos and sportsbooks memorized, but I think there is one right there in downtown Buffalo. I think it should be pretty close. It should be pretty convenient. Be interesting to see if the folks take a little trip down there and put a couple bucks on Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin or whoever they have a feeling about. It's all part of being a fan now.
Yeah, for reference, the Seneca Nation, they have three casinos here in what we call the Western New York area, which all have sports betting. The one in downtown Buffalo, as you mentioned, the one up in Niagara Falls, which is also close to where I'm sitting at the moment. They also have one down in the southwest corner of New York State. But really, Brant, I could leave here in the studio, go 20 to 30 minutes north or 20 minutes west downtown, and yeah, have access to either of those facilities. But obviously, NASCAR is a different type of animal, I guess, when it comes to wagering. You know, it's not just two teams facing each other. It's 40 individuals. And how much of a challenge is that for the uninformed bettor when it comes? Does that scare some bettors away when they can't just pick team A or team B? They've got to choose one of 40 on who they think they're going to win.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I wrote about that in my story for bookies.com today. If you could analyze this race, and this is even more particular to Daytona and Talladega,
mm-hmm.
you could analyze this race down to all the details. You could sleep with the loop data going through your head. You could have this figured out. You could figure out who hasn't made anybody mad through Speed Weeks. You could figure out who's got the best motor, who's got great teammates, who's got alliances, who's going to get a push. And then two-thirds of the way through the race, someone's tire blows or some knucklehead screws it all up and puts them into the wall, and there goes your most brilliantly analyzed bet, and it's all over. But this may be great for just casual fans, too, who love the sponsor or have a feeling about the number on a car. It's their lucky number. Or, you know, grandpa loves this guy, you know, whatever. as you said, it's extremely hard. It's not betting the Bills or the Sabres because they've been good or bad, or they match up well or don't against a particular team. It's 40 versus 40, and a lot can go wrong, especially at Daytona.
Luckily, there's a lot of different ways, much like the side bets or the prop bets like you would do in, say, in a football game. There's a lot of different ways to wager in NASCAR. Not only can you pick a guy to win, you can pick top three, top five, top ten. The Seneca Nation, they're offering, it's a yes-no bet if they're going to finish in the top six. They've got driver mm-hmm. head-to-head matchups. There's a lot of different ways to have fun with it.
There is a lot of ways to do it. I mean, you're just looking at the who's going to win. I mean, you can bet win, as you said, or you can bet top three. In essence, you can make a car race a horse race. Unibet had Kyle Busch at plus 900 to win, and hey, that's pretty good. I mean, he's got to get one eventually, I guess. it's him versus everyone else, so those are pretty good odds. But to finish top three is plus 250. Obviously, you're not going to get the value on that as you would for the win. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. You can bet who's going to win certain stages. You can bet who's going to be the top team, who is going to be the best driver within a team, within a manufacturer. And the ones that I think are fascinating, the ones that I think are going to catch on in the future, if the in-race, which is the equivalent of the in-game betting, if New York eventually gets the mobile betting, which I think would really make it take off there and probably pull some money back from New Jersey, but different topic, is the driver versus driver. You can begin the race and you can just, okay, is Chase Elliott going to be better than Denny Hamlin? And you could put a couple bucks on that. And in the future, and this is a technological issue too, because it's like the delay with what you see on your screen. It might have happened 30 seconds ago with the signal bouncing off the satellite and making sure no one showed a body part or said something inappropriate that TV networks doesn't want America to see. Once they get that technology synced up, it'd be pretty fascinating if your guy driver A is door slamming driver B, and you're trash talking a fan of driver B, and you're just sitting there putting a buck on it. All right, well, my guy's going to beat you now. And there's so many different things that can happen in the future, and I know from talking to the traders at the sportsbook and with NASCAR too. They've got an executive in charge, managing director of gaming, Scott Warfield. They are super interested in the technology and the interest level, getting to the point where they can present that to the fans, entertain the fans on a different level, and maybe get other folks come to watch NASCAR because they got $2 on it.
Yeah, actually, that was the next thing I was going to ask you about as Brant James from bookies.com joins us, is the fact that NASCAR is embracing this with open arms. They've made a lot of deals. They've got a deal with Penn National. They've made some other deals when it comes to the digital betting. To make a pun out of it, this is something NASCAR is placing a bet on, so to speak, to try, as you said, gain more interest in the sport. That, you know, the track in Kansas with the casino built right there, this is something NASCAR is really pushing for.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I'll follow your gambling pun with another one, and NASCAR is definitely all in on this. They
touche.
I'll stop now. Yeah, it's actually you forget, as an aside, how many gambling references there are in just everyday language. You notice it when you write about it. It's like, I wasn't trying to be really touching it. But anyway, yes, NASCAR is interested. Every league, every television network is very interested to see where legalized sports betting takes the entertainment industry, the sports industries. You know, TV ratings for all sports are fluctuate. Baseball's got problems. The NFL had a bounce back, and of course, a lot of sports betting entities make note, hey, that the ratings are back up the last 2 years. That's when legal sports betting was starting to spread across the country. But engagement tool is the term we hear. The NFL used it. The NBA does a great job with it. The thought being, you're going to watch if you've got a bet on it. If your Major League Baseball team isn't so good, but you bet the over on the game, you're probably going to hang out and see if they get it and know if you're $5 richer before you go to bed. And while you're doing that, you're going to see all those beer commercials and all those car commercials, and that makes the sponsors happy, and that just makes the heart just burst out of the television network that's bringing that to you. And NASCAR is exactly the same way.
Yeah, another sport that I'm involved with that you might probably not know little about, indoor lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League. They've just signed a partnership with BetMGM. In fact, I do our broadcast for the local team here, and BetMGM sponsors the inactives for the game at the start of our broadcast now.
Yeah, that's a lot of the non-Big Four leagues have done that. The XFL is very vested in it. ESPN is showing betting information right on the screen. Interestingly, Fox is not showing as much, and they are actually a betting platform operator through Fox Bet. I don't quite understand the separation there, but yeah, leagues assume that, you know, if it shows up on someone's mobile betting app, and you get that in New York, it's like, oh, they might check it out. What is indoor lacrosse? I'm going to watch this on television. I like this. I'm going to go buy a shirt. I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to buy a beer. And again, the hearts just burst out of the team because more fans.
Well, Brant, let's get to the point. Well, probably everybody's hoping that they're still listening to us about, and that is, who should they put money on today for the Daytona 500? Like you said, you've got a piece up today at bookies.com. You've got some favorites. You've got some long shots. Who should people possibly be putting some money down today in the Daytona 500?
Yeah, I mean, Denny Hamlin has been so good there, but people just don't repeat. I mean, it was Sterling Marlin back in the 90s, I think, is the last one to go back to back. Kyle Busch is just so darn good, and it's just so obvious to pick him. He's got to get one. So that's who I'm going with. If you say his name out loud enough times, he's eventually going to win a race and make you look smart. So that's who I think. I think you buy the Jimmy Johnson one just because NASCAR has that crazy knack for making the sentimental storyline come true sometimes. I mean, he's not
wink, wink, nudge,
really showing up. Yeah, you know what I mean. He's not necessarily instilling a whole lot of faith in me, but, you know, if Jimmy doesn't win the Daytona 500, well, maybe it's not his last if he does a part-time gig or whatever. Save that as a souvenir and put it in a cheap little frame and put it on the wall. But Eric Jones, I think, he was plus 2,800 last time I looked. That was a Unibet, and that's an intriguing one. If I wasn't going to go Kyle Busch, I'm thinking about Eric Jones.
Chase Elliott, he's gone from plus 1,000. Now he's up to plus 1,400. I know he hasn't had a strong speed weeks, but that one caught my eye.
That's not bad. I mean, that's the fascinating thing about racing odds is, again, it's because it's like the entire NFL playing against each other at the same time. I mean, you're not going to run into, you just can't see a driver be like a minus 500 favorite in a race, even with the way that some drivers dominate a certain track, like a Harvick at Phoenix, or you know, back in the day, or something like that. You just can't see it because, you know, a lug nut or a tire or just some dummy puts them in the wall. you know, something bizarre happens. Who knows? You just don't know. So that's why I think that the sports betting angle can really help NASCAR. It hasn't really ticked the needle too much at this point. It's definitely down in the other category. When we do the wonky reports about how much people are betting in state, they break it down by sport, and football is always the king, and will stay that way for the foreseeable future. NASCAR is down in the other category. But even for people that aren't NASCAR fans, the people who think they're pro bettors or just avid bettors, if they could figure this out a little bit, kind of get in the ballpark, mm-hmm. they could find some value with guys in these races with these on them.
Fascinating stuff. I could probably go another 15 minutes with you, but I'll let you go. BrantJamesBookies.com. Check out his Batter Beats podcast as well, too. He's got an episode up right now about NASCAR. Brant, great catching up. I've loved having you on the show throughout the years. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Anytime, always fun. Have a great day. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Brant James from bookies.com. You can follow him on Twitter too, at Brant James. And again, the Batter Beats podcast, he does as well too. Definitely some interesting stuff. Seriously, I'm literally getting off the air, going to pick up a friend and putting just for fun, you know, not going crazy, just putting a couple bucks down on a couple guys today just for fun. Just some added incentive on top of, you know, fantasy and just who you like to cheer for every day. Just now that it's legal to do. I know lots of people have bet for years and there's apps and websites and everything, and you know, but I'm not that. I'm a pretty black and white guy when it comes to the law. So, but now that it's legal and easy to do here in New York State, I'm going to have a little fun with it. I hope you do too. Hope you enjoy the race today. We come back. We're going to wrap up this Daytona 500 preview edition of Fast Track. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the other racing that's gone on at Speed Week. Some drivers from up in Western New York and Southern Ontario, they've also picked up some checkered flags down in the state of Florida. We're going to talk about that too. And still time for your phone calls at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We get back here on Fast Track on WGR. I saw a funny tweet from a driver, I don't remember whom now, during the media day for the Daytona 500, and the driver said, I can't remember how many times today I've said, hi, my name is, because the drivers record these for different media outlets, and they just have to repeat themselves over and over again. So I got a kick out of that, knowing we have these little bumpers that the MRN sent to us last season. Speaking of MRN radio, the voice of NASCAR, you can hear their coverage of the Great American Race today, but it's over on our sister station, ESPN 1520. Live flag-to-flag coverage starts at 1:30 this afternoon with pre-race coverage. Again, green flag not till 3:18, thanks to a certain special guest that is going to be at the track today. But MRN's coverage starts at 1:30 this afternoon over on ESPN 1520. Our producer Kyle Powell, who's producing today, told me that during the break because I knew it wasn't going to be on our station today, but great to hear that it is on ESPN 1520. We've got Sabres Maple Leafs tonight on WGR. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 o'clock. Brian's on vacation. I saw him. He's golfing in Florida. He's at the wrong part of the state today. I'm assuming Pat's going to be anchoring our coverage of this evening of Sabres Maple Leafs. So you've got that on the radio as well today, too. Final segment here is we will hand things off to ESPN Radio at the top of the hour, but again, 1:30, flip over to ESPN 1520 for the Daytona 500. As is the tradition during Speed Weeks, not only is there action at the big track in Daytona, a lot of the short tracks in and around that's part of Florida were running all week long. Obviously, the Volusia Raceway Park on the dirt side of things and New Smyrna Speedway on the pavement side of things for the World Series of short track racing, and some drivers with connections to the area had some pretty good weeks down there. Over at New Smyrna, Wednesday night might have been the race of the week. Anthony Nocella and Matt Hirschman, who we've had on here a number of times, regular on the Race of Champions series, they had a photo finish in the modified race. I believe it was Wednesday night. And Nocella got the win. You look at some of the photo and video, and it's almost too close to call. And the officials awarded the win to Nocella, an exciting side-by-side race. They ran the last three laps side-by-side, wheel-to-wheel, right to the end, and Nocella edged Matt Hirschman for the victory. That was pretty exciting. Thursday night, Patrick Emmerling from Orchard Park, New York, he picked up the victory in the modified race there with the L2 Autosport team and Mike and Jan Leedy and the crew. They got the win Thursday night. And then Friday night in the Richie Evans Memorial 100, Matt Hirschman got a little bit of redemption and won that race. And Tyler Ripkema, who's from Owego, New York, and runs the Race of Champions series, he finished second in that race, too. So some good, exciting modified racing down there at New Smyrna. Over at the dirt track in Volusia, the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds in action. And Matt Williamson from St. Catharines, who, of course, won last year's Super Dirt Car Series Championship. He had a great run last season with the Buzz Chew team, the 88 car. They won at Oswego during Super Dirt Week, and they won the Super Dirt Car Series Championship. He's off to a good start. He won the first night of modified racing. Then he won last night as well, too, to close out the week at Volusia. So he got two wins, but sandwiched between those two wins by Williamson was a three-straight run by Lightning Larry White in the Gypsum Express team. He picked up three straight wins last week, and he edged out Matt, among others, for the Super Dirt Car Speed Weeks Championship down there and got to hold the big gator in victory lane down there at Volusia. But Matt off to a good start. So he'll defend his Super Dirt Car Series title, and I'm pretty sure he'll be back Friday nights at the Big R2, challenging Ryan Soucy, Pete Bicknell, and Eric Rudolph once again in 2020. Eric Rudolph picked up a win the week before at the Alltech Raceway with the Short Track Super Series, and Eric had a couple of good runs with the Super Dirt Car Series as well, too. So great to see some drivers from this area having some success. I know the on the pavement side, the Catalano family, unfortunately, they had their fair share of headaches during the week between Tommy and Tyler and their mom, Amy. They had some engine issues, and then Tommy even had to get borrowed a ride to run the Richie Evans race on Friday night, teamed up with one of the other teams down there because they had so many issues, unfortunately, during their speed weeks down there in New Smyrna. Just more mechanical stuff than anything, I believe. But they were among the Western New York, Central New York contingent that went down there to Florida. Now they're all trekking their way back here north, back to winter. So enjoy the race today. Again, my picks, Logano, Hamlin, and Stenhouse. One of those three is there, about five to go. That's who I would be picking to win. My championship four, I'll just say that. I won't go through the whole 16, but I think the four to race for the championship this season are going to be, it's going to be Busch and Hamlin again, and then I think Harvick is going to be there. And I think Chase Elliott is going to, I think Chevy's going to have a better year. I think the new bodywork for the Camaro is going to help them out definitely this season. So that's going to be my championship four, and I'm going to say Denny Hamlin is finally going to win a championship this year. I think 2020 is going to be his season to win a title. We'll see if that holds 9 months from now when the season wraps up in November. It's a great time of year. Looking forward to it. While you're watching the race today, be sure to tweet us at FastTrack550 with your thoughts on the race, and we'll break it all down next Sunday with another edition of Fast Track back here in WGR. We'll talk to you then.